mobile.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's gotta be clean, it's gotta be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Alabama, for the first time, using nitrogen gas to execute a death row inmate. And while witnesses say Kenneth Smith lurched back and forth for several minutes in apparent pain as the oxygen in his face mask was replaced by nitrogen, Alabama says the execution was a success and is offering consulting services. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall.
Alabama has done it, and now so can you. And we stand ready to assist you in implementing this method in your state.
The International Court of Justice demanding Israel take steps to prevent acts considered genocide against Palestinians, but says South Africa's Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Lindy Pandor.
I would have wanted a ceasefire.
The court stopped short of that in its preliminary ruling. Inflation cooled again in December. Today's government report showing prices rose just 0.2% from November to December. That's back to pre-pandemic levels. This is ABC News. Weeks after a private company's failed attempt to put a spacecraft on the moon, NASA is celebrating the unqualified success of another project millions of miles away from the lunar surface.
It was July 2020.
And liftoff.
The little helicopter called Ingenuity was launched into space along with the Perseverance rover. 6 months later, video of Ingenuity flying around the Martian surface. 3.5 years in.
What started as a technology demonstration with plans for only up to 5 flights has now completed a remarkable 72 flights on Mars.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson says Ingenuity broke a rotor and has now finally flown its last mission. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A lawmaker in California wants drivers to slow down. A new bill would require new vehicles in the state be equipped with special technology called speed governors, making it impossible to drive more than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. If approved, the plan would take effect with the 2027 model year. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A teen charged in the May 2023 death of a Reedsburg girl waiting for a school bus has pleaded not guilty. Kevin Green, who was in Sauk County Court Thursday, is charged with homicide by negligent use of a vehicle in connection to the wreck that killed 13-year-old Evelyn Gurney. Prosecutors say the 18-year-old Green was allegedly texting when he didn't notice a school bus in front of him had stopped. Criminal complaint says when Green swerved into a ditch to avoid the bus, his pickup truck hit the back of the bus before striking Gurney. The complaint also alleges that Green was traveling 63 miles per hour in a 55 zone at the time of the crash. He faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison if he's convicted. The state assembly passes a Republican-authored abortion bill the governor has pledged to veto.
Madison Democrat Representative Lisa Subic during Thursday's lengthy floor debate.
I know that the governor is going to veto it. He had a message. He let us know that. And that gives me great comfort because the governor will stand up for women's health care.
Fall Creek Republican Representative Karen Hurd issuing a challenge to Evers.
I am not afraid to do the will of the people, even if it goes against my own personal convictions. Is the governor of this great state also as brave to get the opinion of the people of this state?
The bill calls for a binding statewide referendum on whether abortion care should be prohibited after 14 weeks of pregnancy. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Human remains are found following a trailer fire Tuesday morning in Marinette County. That fire happened in the town of Silver Cliff. Officials say an investigation of the fire scene led to the discovery of the human remains, which the Marinette County Medical Examiner's Office is working to identify. Currently, no foul play is suspected as an investigation into the fire continues. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
The fog sticks around today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have temperatures near 40, north winds at around 5. Tonight, cloudy with areas of fog, lows low 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, fog once again with highs in the upper 30s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Girls High School basketball tonight. The Panthers host Elmwood Plum City. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. And online at realcountry1430.com.
A down day in the grains on Friday as funds hit the sell button while cattle and hogs continued to push to new highs for the move. Hotter than expected GDP data Thursday was followed up with more of the same in the PCE number on Friday. We'll look at what all this means for the markets.
Live from the final molasses cookie broadcast via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation with the Water Street Swami, the pride of Chi-Town. He puts the edge in hedge, Ted Seifried. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip, join me in welcoming Michelle Rook.
Thanks so much, Davis. What is your favorite cookie, by the way?
My favorite cookie? Probably shortbread.
You talk about cookies a lot.
Yeah, no chips in a molasses cookie. Those are pretty good, you know?
I'm sorry. I never pegged you for a shortbread kind of guy.
I'm a shortbread guy. Well, now, here's the thing. I'm an equal opportunity cookie enthusiast, all right? Even those weird little things, like, what do they call them, snowballs? The chocolate snowballs that they try to pass off as cookies?
Oh, with the coconut on top of, I hate those.
Eat those. I'll eat them. You know, you take a dead bird, right? You put a sign on it that says cookie. I'll eat it.
Okay.
Yeah, now you know.
All right. Well, like I said, a lot of cookie references here, but shortbread is kind of boring to me. And so That's not the first thing that would have come to mind as far as your favorite cookie.
What?
I figured you'd be something much more complex and exciting than that.
Like a macaron, maybe, or a snickerdoodle. Maybe a snickerdoodle guy. As I recall, you go with the standard. Baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. You like the chocolate chip cookie, the classic, right?
If you want to know my real weakness, is sugar cookies with frosting. Don't ask me why, because I love chocolate, but I don't know what it is about that.
Wow, I'm with
that. All right.
We should go get some sugar cookies with frosting on them sometime. That does sound really good. I'm changing my favorite now. That's going to be my favorite.
Okay. Okay. Hey, still socked in with... Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just got to say, I'm sorry to interrupt you here, because you're doing such a darn good job for us.
Don't jinx me.
No. I think you've got this. Everybody, Michelle stepped in here kind of into a circus here. Chip and I have been doing this for like 10 years or something, and Michelle has been good enough to help us out, to send us plenty of her time. Michelle, you have exceeded expectations this week, and I want to say publicly, I really appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you.
And for picking up some of the slack for us right here on AgriTalk. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Well, I have. You know, radio actually is my background, mm-hmm. more so than even television, and so I was glad to get back in doing some live radio, and I appreciate you putting up with me.
Well, you got a face for TV, though. That's the thing. You can't waste it on radio, Michelle. Come on.
All right. Well, thank you for that compliment. I'll guess I'll take it as that.
For sure. All right. I got some news here if you're interested.
Yes. Please kick us off.
Let's get there. The love end is over. Following a string of gains, corrective selling overtook the wheat market today. Chinese customs authorities have included Argentina in its list of countries eligible to export wheat to China. This according to a statement by the Argentine government earlier today. March SRW futures retreated below short-term and intermediate moving averages. Next support is at 591 and a quarter. Market bulls will be looking to 612 in March SRW futures as next resistance. Also, Michelle, as we discussed yesterday, China rumors. March HRW wheat futures 12 and a quarter cents lower, 624 and three quarters. March SRW slipped 12 cents to $6.25. March spring wheat closed at 703 and one half, down 5.5 cents today. Also, China rumors, Michelle.
No, actually, it works the opposite. We didn't get confirmation of the China rumors today, so that's why the market was down.
Aha, that makes sense. Well, on the week, it was a little surprising to me. March hard red winter wheat futures on the week up 16 and three quarter cents. March soft red wheat up 7 on the week. So all told, not too bad despite a lower performance to end the week here.
Yep, those weekly closes always surprise me.
Well, corn futures followed wheat to the downside in today's trade. More ships carrying grain were diverted from the Suez Canal to sail around the Cape of Good Hope this week after attacks on vessels in the Red Sea. According to authorities, 16 vessels were confirmed this week, taking total grain cargoes diverted to some 3.9 million tons. That's up from 3 million tons last week. Brazil's state of Paraná is expected to produce a first corn crop of 2.6 million metric tons as state agency DERAL reduced its estimate to a level 31% lower than last year's harvest. March corn futures fell 5.5 cents to 446 and a quarter. May corn dropped 5.5 to 455 and three quarters. July corn futures closed at 463. That's down 5.75 today. A couple of things here, Michelle. Those cargoes were at 3.9 million tons this week. That's up from 3 million tons last week. If we keep adding a million tons to the number of ships that need to go around the Cape of Good Hope, we've got problems.
Right, and shipping costs have doubled as a result going through the Red Sea.
And also, March corn futures closed at 446 and a quarter. That's right at the 10-day moving average. How we do on Monday is going to be crucial on the week. March corn up 0.75 cents, at least we're higher.
Yeah,
soybeans
we'll
extended
take that.
Losses. Yep, unfavorable Brazilian weather and a sharp drop in soybean meal futures today. Brazil weather will continue to be the wettest in the north for another week, according to World Weather, with local flooding possible, though no serious crop damage is expected. Southern areas of Brazil will tend drier. USDA reported 100,000 metric tons of soy meal sales to unknown destinations during 23-24. March beans are facing support at 12.09 and three quarters, with additional support lying at $12 at 11.96 and a half. Resistance initially stands at 12.28 and one half. March beans down 13 and three quarter cents, 12.09 and a quarter. May beans 14 cents lower, 12.16 and a quarter. July closed at 12.24, down 13 and a half cents on the day. Michelle.
Down for the week, though, weren't we?
Well, yes. March beans down 4 cents on the week this week. Yep.
Okay.
Well, March cotton, yeah. What do you think? I mean, we've got unknown destinations showing up here for soy meal sales, and yet soy meal just can't go low enough fast enough today. I kind of don't get it.
It's part of this basis thing in South America or in Brazil that we talked about. We can talk about that with Ted a little later.
Yep, Brazilian basis, of course. Well, March cotton was down 139 points today to 84.37 on the week, actually up 51 points on your March cotton. Let's move over to the livestocks. Higher cash cattle trade lit a fire under cattle futures. After initial trade at $1 higher prices on Wednesday, cash cattle traded mostly $2 higher yesterday, Thursday. Today, February live cattle futures next major area of resistance stands at the 100-day moving average. Feb live cattle firmed 72.5 cents to 178.45. April fats up 97.5 cents to 181.67.5. March feeders firmed $1.52.5 to close at 239.70 on the week. Look out, February fat cattle up $4.07.5. March feeders take the trophy up $7.75. Nice week there for the cattle complex, Michelle.
Yep, and above the 50% retracement level we talked about yesterday. So I'm going to dig into that with Ted.
Woohoo! Well, finally here, following strong gains early this week, lean hogs finished the week on an up note. The February contract managed a genuine close above resistance, suggesting more near-term strength ahead. February hogs firmed 62.5 cents to 74.92.5. April hogs added 70 cents, 83.25. Michelle Rook.
All right, we're going to see if livestock can continue these gains that we saw on a hot week this week. Grains lower, will that trend continue? And what about China and some of this inflation data we got out this week? Ted Seifert, the Ted Spread, joining us up next on AgriTalk.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Get a strong start to your sorghum season with Double Team Sorghum. The Double Team Sorghum cropping solution provides superior post-emergent grass control, giving you clean sorghum fields, reliable yields, and improved profitability. Double Team is powered by the proprietary DT trait and uniquely formulated First Act herbicide for a completely integrated and flexible solution for grass control in sorghum. Visit DoubleTeamSorghum.com to learn how to get cleaner fields and bigger yields.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Join us in Orlando at the 2024 NCBA Cattle Convention. Don't miss U.S. Farm Report host Tyne Morgan's live taping with industry experts February 1st at noon. Be part of the live audience at the Chuckwagon Cafe No. 1.
Michelle, I got to jump in here. Michelle Rook, hosting AgriTalk today. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I promise I'm going to sink into the shadows here just as soon as I fix a mistake I made.
What'd
I omitted
you do?
The weekly close on the weekly change on the February hog contract. Would you care to guess, Michelle?
We're going to be up.
Yeah, up. Do I hear Ted in the background there, Ted Seifert?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, do you want to guess how did the February hog contract do on the week? I'm talking Friday close to today's close. Go, up or low?
Definitely higher.
Definitely higher.
I mean. Okay. Oh, yeah. So
I'm going to say $4.
Almost 500 points. I'm going to say five.
So Michelle's at $4. Ted's at $500. It's a wide spread there.
No, Michelle,
you're way closer.
Points.
You're taking the prize. $4.17 and one half higher on the February lean hog contract today. That's a heck of a move on the week. And I'm going to let you guys go ahead and converse. AgriTalk.
I cheated. I had him in front of me, so. Yeah.
That's not cheating. It's resourcefulness, Michelle.
Way to
That's
cheat.
What it is. Big difference.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's not cheating. I look at these every week because I'm always, always surprised at the weekly closes because how you trade during the week sometimes can feel so different than how we close at the end of the week. Don't you think, Ted?
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think that a lot of people would be surprised what happened with corn and soybeans for this week. Weekly closes, that means a lot. It really does. Especially, you know, when you talk about trends, right? And so, you know, if you have an overall downtrend, it's always means something when you have a weekly close higher,
right?
Especially by a significant amount, you know, because that makes you really wonder, okay, how's next week going to be? Was that just a bounce off the low, or is this a bit of a change in trend, or the start of a bigger correction? And these were questions that I think we were asking ourselves a little bit more towards the middle of the week than they were at the end of the week. But yes, I do think the weekly charts and weekly closes mean a lot.
Yeah. And I thought we were going to pull off maybe higher weekly closes in all the grains this week because soybeans really started the week well, but we ended up with some losses for the week. Now, I want to start off. Oh, if you're just tuning in, I didn't even introduce you. Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge out of Chicago, the Ted Spread, if you're looking at his X handle. And Ted, always fun to have you along. I wanted to start off with just a question about the fact that we got out GDP information out yesterday from the fourth quarter, a little hotter than expected. PCE came in this morning, maybe a little hotter than expected. At the same time, we got the stock market, S&P, making new highs this week. And the reason I ask about this is, what does all this mean for money flow, especially when you talk about the commodity sector?
Right. That's a good question. And Michelle, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I think most of our listeners recognize my voice. I think at this point I've hosted the show like 280 something times, but yes. Okay. So to your question, I'm going to say that the inflation numbers were kind of mixed because, you know, the core data that is the Fed's preferred data.
Right.
It came in below 3% for the first time in a really long time, basically since we started all the stimulus for COVID. I think because of that, you had sort of mixed and muted reactions happening across the board from the indices to the US dollar index to commodities themselves. By the end of the day, you had the stock market pretty flat. You know, you had the Dow slightly higher and the S&P slightly lower. The dollar index didn't have a profound move today. It was down 155. But overall, this entire week we treaded water sideways in the US dollar index. So nothing big there. Crude wasn't up sharply or anything. It was higher, but then again, it was down sharply yesterday. So again, not much of a reaction from the inflationary data. Well, I'll say this, though, and I think this is what you're getting at, Michelle. From a broader perspective, inflation cooling off is not a bullish thing for commodities.
Exactly.
When you have Yeah, when you have high levels of inflation, then you have commodity funds, index funds, really everybody needing to hedge against that inflation. And their way of doing that is by getting things that have intrinsic value, just raw commodities, you know. And in the past, soybeans have really been the darling, one of the darlings of the inflationary hedge. But you can see on Friday that that was not something that you had, you know, the institutional investors coming in big time to get involved in soybeans. Mm-hmm. If anything, we may have saw a little bit of the opposite.
No doubt. And I should clarify, because month over month and versus expectations on core PCE, we were up just a little bit. But as you say, we have slowed for, what, 11 months now. So it looks like the Fed is doing its job keeping things under control here with what they've done in terms of monetary policy, right?
Yeah. I think everybody was afraid that we weren't able to have a soft landing, myself included. I think this is what a soft landing feels like. Now, whether it continues on this way or not, I'm not sure. You know, with the stock market continuing to make new highs, it makes it very difficult for the Fed to justify lowering rates like they said they would, you know, two to four times during the calendar year of 2024. But I don't know if that's a realistic thing for them to be doing when you've got a really hot and heavy stock market. The good news for them is that, yes, we're not seeing inflation is coming down, right? Now they're going to have to watch that number closely, because if it gets too low, that means that, you know, the opposite of stimulating the economy is happening, and that they do have to lower rates. But again, I think that stock market really precludes them from doing it. And overall, you know, broader picture, like we just mentioned, this is not a bullish thing for commodities. This is a much different climate that we're trading in today than it was a year ago, or especially 2 years ago, or even 3 years ago, when we were just getting stimulus package after stimulus package. This is not that same situation. We're not printing money. We're not seeing rampant inflation. We don't have to see commodity prices go higher just because the dollar is worth less, you know, with all the dollar supply that we're dumping into the market. Right. Again, this is a different climate, Michelle, and I think people have to realize that.
Yeah, and again, when you look at the fund short position in the grains, when you add up everything, corn, soybeans, products, and the three wheat exchanges, it's very short. How does it compare historically?
Yeah, no, it's really short. And
it's very short.
I don't like talking about, well, I mean, it's always interesting when something sets a record, you know, I mean, something to talk about. But, you know, I don't really like comparing years, fund short positions from one year to the next, because, you know, there is inflation. There is different amounts
the
of money that
these different. Are.
The environment's different. Every time it's different, right? And when you have a situation like this, there's a lot more fund powder, meaning they've got a lot more money to work with than the last time that they had a record short position, right? Sure. So I don't think it does us justice to say, hey, you know, we're getting close to record short, or the funds are getting close to record short positions. Yeah, but again, different climate, different situation. I think a lot more money, they've got a lot more money to work with. I think it's dangerous to think that they would have to stop here. I think they've got a lot more room to continue to grow that short position, especially since a lot of that short position is on a winning side of the trade and has been there for a while. I think they've got a lot of funds to work with, and I haven't seen anything really coming from anywhere to give them a reason to get scared out of those positions.
Yeah, that trend has been working for them. How long did they stay short in the market, though? I mean, you, like you said, they have a little powder to go a little bit shorter, and that's going to continue to kind of keep a lid here on these grain prices, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and so, you know, for the most part, we always say, you know, they're technical in nature. You know, they really follow charts. And when you have a week like we just did in corn and soybeans where, you know, we tried to have a fairly decent bounce. You know, at one point, soybeans were 43 cents off the lows from last Thursday. But we ended the week down on the week. right? These are not the sorts of things that are going to dissuade them from adding to that short position, or let alone get out of the short position. I think they will continue to pile onto it. And then you really wonder, you know, how much do they pay attention to fundamentals, right? Because the macro fundamentals are that, you know, inflation is really cooling off. We're not quite to the point of deflation yet, but they have no reason to be aggressively buying or covering shorts on an inflationary perspective. And then for individual market fundamentals, you know, I think you can, let's talk more about soybeans here, I guess, after the break, because I have a theory on what's going on there with the soybean market.
I was going to ask you about that. We will talk about it when we come back. Ted Seifert, the Ted Spread, joining us here on AgriTalk. We'll be back after the break.
With the AgMarket.net team in Music City, as the company will host its Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference February 4th and 5th. Aside from the AgMarket.net team, Dan Bozzi, Brian Burke, Randy Dowdy, Dave Hightower, Eric Snodgrass, Joe Vakovic, and Mackenzie Johnson will all be there. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to register. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March hard red winter wheat futures were 12 and one quarter cents lower, 624 and three quarters. March SRW wheat slipped 12 cents to $6.25. March corn futures fell 5.5 to 446 and one quarter. May corn down 5.5, 455 and three quarter. March soybean futures softened 13 and three quarter cents to 12.09 and one quarter. May beans 14 cents lower, 12.16 and a quarter. March cotton down 139 points, 84.37. On your livestock, February fat cattle up 72.5, 178.45. March feeders up $1.52.5 to close at 239.70. February lean hogs up 62.5 cents, 74.92.5. Get more market news every market day. Try profarmer.com.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, Wisconsin soybean farmers. Do you know how your soybean checkoff helps fuel Wisconsin? Soybeans play a critical role in helping our communities, our economy, our environment, our future, our farms, and our world. Stop by the Wisconsin Soybean Booth at this year's Corn Soybean Expo, February 1st and 2nd at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells, to learn how your Wisconsin soybean farmers and soybean checkoff are working hard to increase your impact from the farm to the future.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
The fog sticks around today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have temperatures near 40, north winds at around 5. Tonight, cloudy with areas of fog, lows low 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, fog once again with highs in the upper 30s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Girls High School basketball tonight. The Panthers host Elmwood Plum City. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. And online at realcountry1430.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk. But there
was a time. And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook, and for the last day here for Chip Flory, Ted Seifert, Zener Ag Hedge, is joining us here this afternoon. Ted, before the break, we were kind of getting on the verge of kind of talking or breaking down this week's grain trade and soybeans. You know, we started off the week pretty good, but the last 2 days we've been seeing some pretty good selling pressure. So is some of that tied to what's going on in Brazil right now with basis levels and whatnot?
Well, yeah, I mean, sure is, Michelle. I mean, we've passed the window of opportunity to rally on a Brazilian weather market for the first season soybean crop. We have now gotten into the time frame of harvest pressure, which is something we talk about during our growing season or at the end of our growing season. But it's also a very real thing in Brazil because we are about to lose our competitive advantage for you know, our global market share for export sales. And that would end the window of our export season for soybeans for the most part. That is really bad news, especially since we had a pretty poor week of sales as reported on export sales on Thursday, especially when you throw in a reduction for unknown destinations of 235,000 metric tons. So, Michelle, the question is, why didn't we rally based on a pretty profound Brazilian weather problem? You know, everybody was saying, wow, this is one of the driest growing seasons Mato Grosso's ever had. And Mato Grosso is like 22% of their overall soybean crop. That is a big deal. And it wasn't just them. Brazil as a whole had issues, whether it was too dry, too wet. Yet soybeans have done nothing but go down. What's the deal with that?
So is it the lack of demand, China specifically?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we've heard a lot of different estimates for this Brazilian crop, and a lot of them have come down to, you know, 141 or even in the 130s compared to where they started at 165. Massive, massive reductions. But the Chinese know better than we do. The Chinese probably know better than the Brazilians. They have people on the ground. They use satellites. You know, they have a whole lot of intel because they have a very high interest in what happens with that Brazilian soybean crop. And yet we have not seen significant buying on our export sales from China. And why? And you know, either that suggests that
they're not
the Brazilian crop is not as they're not concerned for what reason, though, right? It either means that the Brazilian crop's not as bad as some of these lowball estimates that you're hearing, or it means that they don't have the demand, or a combination of the two. And I think it is kind of a combination of the two. But the question is the demand side of things. Well, how would they not have demand? Because if you talk to most, you know, the soybean cash traders and export guys, they'll say, well, you know, China's severely underbooked for April, May, June timeframe.
Right.
Where's that buying? Why isn't it coming to us? What's happening? That, and most of them will say, well, it's still coming. But then I'm going to say, Michelle, look at the record corn imports that they've had for this marketing year so far. And that comes after they said they had a record corn crop. Now, the narrative right now is that, oh, no, that wasn't a record corn crop. That's China being China, manipulating numbers and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to disagree with that. But what I am going to say is that China for 5 or 6 years now has been publicly trying to change their feed rations. They've historically fed a very, very heavy amount of soybean meal in their pork feed rations in order to get, you know, fatty marbled pork. That is their taste. It's kind of like what we like in our steaks, and that's great. But with a slowing Chinese economy and high priced pork because of these the soybean meal intensive feed rations that they're feeding, their demand has dropped dramatically. So I think what they're what they've got is they finally are getting that shift in their feed rations from roughly 40% soybean meal to now maybe 20%. And they're using a lot more corn because of it. But they're also using a lot less soybeans because of it.
Yeah.
And this is a very big concern for me, because if that's the case and that stays that way, that could be a very significant drop in soybean demand going forward. And we might be sitting on top of the sort of an unprecedented time of soybean demand dropping fairly dramatically from China rather than growing year after year after year. And if that's the case, that's a problem for soybeans, not just for our market, for the Brazilians as well. And it really means that we're going to need to find another outlet, another source of demand in order to offset what might be lower exports to China from both the U.S. and Brazil. So that's I think, what the market is wrestling with right now.
Sure.
The focus has been on production and South American and Brazilian weather problems, but we haven't rallied because of it. So there's got to be a reason. If you read between the lines and you look at the corn imports China has, and the fact that they have been wanting to change their feed rations for a long time, and this the weak economy that they have right now would be a perfect reason, perfect timing for that to happen. That's my concern. And now you put that together with the fact that China is approving GMO soybean and corn seed to be planted into their soil. Historically, they've not approved GMO to be planted domestically in China because their ground's sacred, and putting something that's genetically modified into their ground was a big no-no. But now they're doing that. And what that could do, Michelle, is that could double their yields. And if that happens, that's another big, big cut to what the export, what their import demand is going to be from both the U.S. and South America. So there are some real concerning things on the horizon for soybeans and our business with China.
So the telltale sign, don't you think, though, is the fact that if you look at prices in China, soybean meal, soybeans, they have all dropped quite substantially, and crush margins are down there too, aren't there?
Bingo. Right. I mean, if I didn't mention that, that's all part of the puzzle. Right. And you know, how are soybean prices dropping if they're not importing or at least have the sales or the future imports on the books? Their prices should be rising and encouraging them to fill those needs, but they don't have those needs and their crush margins are poor. Again, to me, that says they're using a lot less soybean meal. And using a lot more corn, because again, huge corn imports. Unfortunately, those corn imports haven't been coming from us. They've been coming from their new corn trading partner, Brazil. Brazil is the huge winner there. And then also look at the Ukraine. Somehow the Ukraine continues to feed China corn on similar levels that they have been for years and years and years. The Ukrainian corn exports to China really haven't even flinched throughout this entire, you know, the war with Russia. And that's wild. But our exports to China, our corn exports to China have gone from, 24,000 metric tons? Or I'm sorry, 24 million metric tons a couple of years ago to now, 8 million metric tons? So we are suffering despite the fact that they have a record amount of corn imports for this current marketing year. It's not coming from us, you know, and again, right. So I'm worried about business with China as a whole for soybeans in particular, but corn as well. And that means that we really have to kind of, I'm afraid we have to brace for some kind of negative times. It will eventually correct itself. We will find that new demand. And again, sustainable aviation, that's the big
hope. I was going to say, is it our bioeconomy that's going to save us or what? Biofuels?
Yeah, I think so, Michelle. But how quickly can we build the capacity? Because in order to make biofuels, we have to have crush facilities, you know, and it takes time to put that infrastructure in. There's a lot of plants that are on the books to be put into production. But, you know, some of those have kind of fallen off. I honestly think that you don't really see that huge boom in investment into this infrastructure until soybean prices are lower than what we want to even talk about right now, Michelle.
Right. So what do you think is the bridge to get us there then in that meantime?
$9 beans? That's the thing. I don't know if there is
cure prices, cure prices. So
there you go. There you go.
Yeah. That's the unfortunate part. All right. The other thing I want to ask you about, you're a technician, cattle market making new highs for the move here today. And we had feeder cattle got above the 50% retracement. Live cattle did not, just shy of it. If we get above those levels in both, where do we go to? Where do we project to? And are we getting, is the market getting ahead of itself?
Well, you know, Michelle, as a technician, I don't like V bottoms, but I will say and have said many times that the one sector of markets that I'm okay with it is the livestock sector. We do occasionally put in just these V bottoms in livestock. And that's what we have. You know, beginning of December, when we put our lows in both feeder cattle and live cattle, we are well off those now. We didn't test those. We never went back and tested those lows. We were down there for 3 days, and then we've been higher ever since.
True.
So I don't know. What I will say is that we had the big reversal higher day yesterday. It was a very strong day. It was really good that on Friday today, we not only held those gains, but we extended them, albeit modestly, but we did extend those gains on Friday. That's fantastic. The problem that I have is that, you know, fat cattle are running right into the 100-day moving average, right? True. At 180. So we could see a little bit of a pullback back towards the lower end of this trending channel. But I still think there's more upside potential. You saw cash trade higher this week on some higher volume, the highest volume that we've seen since the beginning of the calendar year. You know, 175s, 176s trading all over. I think there's room for that to go higher. I think domestic demand stays really strong. So I'm optimistic. I think pull back first, but then eventually I think we get up and over that 180 mark for the fat cattle. And then feeders, you know, look really good. They have closed over the 100-day moving average.
Exactly.
And just shy of the 200. So I think there's more upside potential there, albeit we could see a pullback before that happens.
Funds are back in there buying, though, it looks like, huh? And their powder's kind of dry.
Does look like it. Sure is.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get some additional buying, especially as we go into that cattle inventory report next week. I think there's some bullish expectations there. All right. We're going to be back with Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge. We'll talk about lots of stuff, including some marketing tips coming up on Ag.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
Some people just know bundling with Allstate means big savings. Just like they know the right ingredient means big flavor. They know honey on pizza is where it's at. And olive oil on ice cream is the cherry on top. Mm. And they know when you bundle home and auto with Allstate, you can save up to 25%. Mm-mm.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Her best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids. For ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma and always read and follow label directions.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Join us in Houston for the 2024 Commodity Classic, New Frontiers in Agriculture, where you'll find a trade show defined by progress and innovation, and education that'll open your mind to endless possibilities. Plus, we'll close out the show on Saturday at the Houston Rodeo, the world's largest rodeo and livestock exhibition. Join us February 28th through March 2nd. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Join us in Orlando at the 2024 NCBA Cattle Convention. Don't miss U.S. Farm Report host Tyne Morgan's live taping with industry experts February 1st at noon. Be part of the live audience at the Chuckwagon Cafe number 1.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory today. Ted Seifred, the Ted Spread Zahner Ag Hedge, is joining us.
Same,
and
Michelle.
Davis Michelson is coming back in to join us for this segment.
Just a couple of questions, because I know you've got some things you want to cover yet. But, Ted, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that the Ukraine grain flows into China are unabated here. Do you know, is that an overland route? Is that what they're doing?
No. There's really no direct overland route to move that size. 6 million metric tons is a lot of corn. It's got to be moving by ship. And I don't know. I mean, we know that China and Russia, they're friends, you know. So I don't know if there's certain ships that China is like, hey, Russia, leave these guys fine. And they're good. Safe passage. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That how. Could be.
It's wild to me that there's really not been any disruption in Ukrainian exports to China. And then the increase in Brazil is just, I mean, Brazil went from zero to hero in a huge way.
Right. And, you know, we even talked about it this morning on the free for all. Once demand is lost, it's gone, baby. Is that the case with this demand here? I mean, you set up quite the dismal demand picture for soybeans coming up here in the next couple of years, maybe not immediately, but right away, man, we're in trouble here, dude.
Yeah, he's Debbie Downer today.
A little bit, Michelle. I'll let you take it from here, but wanted to throw that in there. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to be, you know.
No.
I'm bullish when I should be bullish, right? But I mean, look what the market's doing. Look what the price action's telling you, right? I mean, we just had a major weather issue in Brazil, and we couldn't rally at all. In fact, we were down significantly over the last couple of months. That's a problem, right? So we got to be searching for answers. We need to be realistic with ourselves. And yes, we are coming off of some really good times, but we can't expect that to always be the case. And we know these things go in cycles. And unfortunately, the feel of everything, the fact that we couldn't rally on a major weather issue, mm-hmm. well, I think that just has to be a wake-up call. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding the alarm, but I am. With the Brazilian feed rations, I could be totally wrong about that. They could be just importing all that corn because their crop was
How do you know? Terrible. How do you know? China lies all the time.
Well, it's China. It's China. So, but that's the best-case scenario, and that their feed rations haven't changed, and soybean demand will snap back. And there's still more export sales to come.
Well,
but I think you got to look at the worst case scenarios right now.
And I was more pessimistic than you in that moment when Michelle asked you, well, what does that look like? And you said $9 beans. I was thinking eight handle beans. So who's the perma bear here?
So $12 beans at this point still look pretty darn good then.
Agreed.
To you.
Yeah, absolutely. $12 beans look pretty darn good. I mean, historically, go back to 2018 when people were begging for, you know, $4.55 corn and $12 beans. Well, okay, I get it. You know, we've had to endure some higher input costs. And you know, if you haven't been aggressive selling when prices were a lot better, you know, and I'm specifically talking old crop corn right now. Yeah, this is a fairly painful experience. But, you know, take your eyes and go look at new crop. And yeah, I mean, it's not the prices that we've been enjoying, but historic, it's not, there's not a three in front of corn right now. I mean, we're just shy of 480 December corn. That's not a terrible price. And we're just shy of $12 November beans. So yeah, I think you gotta be vigilant. You know, I don't think this is a time to stick your head in the sand and just say, you know, I've been complacent. I didn't get aggressive in marketing the last couple of years, and it all worked out for me because prices ended up being better. And I don't think this is the climate for that. We started off with inflation. There's a completely different macroeconomic climate. I think you need to realize that. There's a completely different macroeconomic climate in China. That is a big problem for us and for exports. You know, you have to realize that. Production has really come on. We just had a 177 national average corn yield, believe it or not, in one of the most difficult growing seasons that we've had since 2012, the most difficult growing season that we've had since 2012. So, wow. I mean, you put all those things together and it's
yeah, a we get a good season narrative. And look kind of what kind of production we're going to have.
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, let's say a normal season, is that a 181 next year? I don't know. What's a good season?
What did USDA use?
U of I.
Yeah, just flat
what
trend.
Will USDA use at the Outlook Forum in February, Ted?
I'm pretty sure it's a 181.5.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, 10 bushel an acre on good weather, could we scratch the 190s? Wow, I don't know. So there's an argument that's been going on for years, for the last few years of, hey, is this trend line flattening out because our seed technology is you know, flattening out, right? We're not making the huge leaps and bounds that we were in the 2008 to 2000, you know, 14, 15 timeframe. And I think that's a very legitimate argument, but a big problem for that argument was this past year where we ended up with a 177 in a very difficult growing season. So no now doubt. You have to wonder again, you have to think, okay, maybe that flatlining of trendline yield isn't the case. And if we have a good year, could we be mid to upper 180s? And I don't even want to say 190, but I can't say that's out of the realm of possibilities. You know, that's scary.
If that happens, we could easily be pushing up to a 3 billion bushel ending stocks figure, and these prices that we have would look very good. So, again, your last advice to folks marketing-wise is just do something right now, right?
Yeah. Don't be complacent. Also, don't shoot Ted for being the bearer of bad news. I hope I'm wrong about everything, folks. I really, really do. I just think we need to be thinking about these things right now. And so I'm the one to make you do it, I guess. But
yeah, you're not wrong.
Yes, don't be complacent. You can always use reownership strategies to the upside. But I don't know what sort of weather issue we'd have to have to get a big rally. I think the market's going to be jaded and very reluctant to rally on weather during our growing season because of what happened last year. So I would feel fairly comfortable making sales at this point.
That may be the other reason why we couldn't get much of a rally out of beans on the South American weather too. But all right, Ted, thanks for joining us. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge. That wraps it up for me here for the week. I'm Michelle Rook. Thanks to Davis Michelson and to our producer, Joe Stackler. Chip will be back next week. Thanks for joining us for AgriTalk.
I taught for 20 years until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides?
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Progressive asks, what do a middle school slumber party?
Let's stay up all night.
Yeah!
A sleep-deprived girl. An early morning paper route. And a poorly thrown rolled-up newspaper have in common?
Hey, my window!
They can become a fast-breaking news.